You're listening to the Transform Your Nutrition podcast with your hosts, Rebecca Heald and Jeff Ash. Our purpose is to help individuals and families transform their relationships with food and develop healthy bodies, minds, and attitudes, all without restriction, guilt, or shame. Hey, Rebecca, how are things today?
Hi, Jeff. All good, thank you. Although the weather's a bit dreary today.
Yep, it's dreary here too, but we actually like it that way sometimes because it's too sunny here all the time. So we like a little bit of variety in the weather occasionally here.
Wish we had that problem.
Yeah, you're the opposite.
Yes, we are, definitely.
But that's actually an interesting point because I don't know if everybody notices. They probably can tell from our accents, but you are located in the UK and yep. I am located in Dallas, Texas, so yep. In the US. So we are at opposite ends of the world, but
we are.
Yeah. Well, you have something kind of exciting that you have in the works. Would you like to tell us about that a little bit before we dive into our topic for today?
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Jeff. So yeah, I've just announced that I'm going to be doing a series of workshops. So one in November, one in December, and one in January. So they're going to be live interactive workshops. So anybody can join in from anywhere across the world. And they're basically going to unpick diet culture and kind of explain. The first workshop is going to go into looking at diets, why they don't work, and why everybody or lots of people have felt frustrated and lost and let down by diets in the past. So trust me, it's not you, it's them. Mm-hmm. And then the second workshop will then take you through the steps that you need to take in order to manage your nutrition, eat healthily, and manage your weight without a diet. So it's the how to move beyond the dieting. Mm-hmm. And then the last workshop really goes into the practicals around nutrition. So what you really need to focus on practically, etc. So yeah, I'm really, really excited about that because obviously, as you know, a lot of people out there are really, really confused and conflicted by lots of the messages that are out there. So I thought I'd put together these workshops to try and get the right message out there to encourage positive relationships with food.
Yeah, that sounds fantastic. Well, we'll definitely include links to that for anybody who's interested and highly encourage you to go check that out. And so we'll put those links in the show notes here. And then, of course, you can find more out by checking either of us out on social media because she'll be sharing that and I'll certainly be sharing that also.
Yeah, and just to add as well that I am doing an early bird offer. So if you book onto all three of the workshops, because obviously they are standalone workshops, so you can just book onto one, but there is a progression and they do tie in nicely together. But if you book on all three, you'll get all three for the price of two.
That's great. Great deal. Yeah. And these are, yeah, the value on these is incredible. So definitely check that out. You will not be disappointed at all. So
thanks. If you're ready for perspective, thanks. Yeah.
All right. So what's our topic for today? What are we going to be talking about today?
Well, we touched on it last time, didn't we? So I think it's really a good point to pick up on because I think this topic will underpin a lot of what we do talk about moving forward. And that's the division of responsibility when it comes to feeding children.
Yeah, definitely.
So, yeah, go on. Sorry, you were going to say something.
Oh, yeah. I think it kind of sets a foundation for most of what we'll be talking about throughout all the podcasts going forward when it comes to feeding our children. So makes sense to talk about that.
Yeah, it's the structure that's needed, I think, in order to model healthy behaviours and also to encourage the trust in our children's body that we mm-hmm. mentioned before, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, so much of what we, I think a lot of us, I didn't grow up this way, but I know a lot of people who have food, nutrition, it all comes down to what you should eat, but also what you shouldn't eat. So there's these do's and don'ts when it comes to nutrition, and so we often are told certain foods are bad foods, certain foods are good foods. We're told that we need to eat a certain amount of food, don't eat too much food, and so I think this concept of this division of responsibility is a much better way of approaching nutrition, I guess. So what is it then?
Okay, so the division of responsibility, it basically assumes that you and your child both have a responsibility when it comes to feeding. So it's about taking away any pressure when it comes to feeding, but allowing a structure and a format. Because at the end of the day, children, they do need structure when it comes to their eating, but they do not need restriction and they do not need force. So the division of responsibility really is about you as a parent are responsible for when and what your child eats, whereas your child is then responsible for whether they do and how much they do at each mealtime. So for example, in our house, the way that we do it is that we have a set time. I say set, but we obviously there is some flexibility within right. it, but roughly we have our breakfast first thing in the morning. Obviously when we're at school, that's earlier than when we're not at school, etc. And then there will be a mid-morning snack, then there will be lunch, then there'll be a mid-afternoon snack, and then we'll have dinner, and then the boys will be allowed to have supper as well before we go to bed. Now, my children know that in between those times, there's no snacking or anything like that. They are the set times for them to have their food. Now, I'm responsible for what I give my children, so there's no... I think what some people call it short order cooking. So they don't tell me what they're going to have. I tell them. But of course, there are times when we have options, etc. And then they basically can eat till they are full at that mealtime. But the thing is that because there is this structure, my children know that they need to eat until they are full at that period of time. But then they are also safe and secure in the knowledge that will only be, 3 or 4 hours max until the next feeding time. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely. So much of the principle itself relies on this consistency, somewhat of a consistent schedule and regular feeding times and not allowing them to just graze. Because if you allow them, I guess that brings up the question, if you allow them to decide how much they're going to eat, won't they just eat and eat and eat and eat? Or how does that work?
So the idea is, basically it's about you holding a structure and a scaffold for your children. And our children are very intuitive, okay? And they will, children very rarely, if we're building children that have got trust in their own bodies, they'll rarely eat and eat and eat and eat beyond what they intuitively need to. However, if they are grazing constantly throughout the day, they're never really getting to a point where they're feeling their hunger or they're feeling their fullness. So the idea is that every time that my children or anybody's child approaches a meal or a snack, they are gently hungry. They're not starving, but they are gently hungry, if that makes sense. Because then, of course, they're going to appreciate the food more. They're going to engage in it more. It's going to be much more enjoyable. Whereas, and I must admit, and I did talk about this in one of my posts on my page, that during lockdown, I probably did end up giving in to the snacking more frequently, and it did backfire because it did end up meaning that my kids felt that they could snack what they wanted when they wanted, and then meal times I'd prepare a meal and they wouldn't eat it. Okay, so it's really frustrating. So it's kind of trying to move away from that, if it makes sense.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's where a lot of people have gone astray over the course of their life, as they got into this habit of eating just eat constantly or sporadically or erratically, and you either get to a meal feeling starved, and then you're more likely to then just want to eat everything there, maybe eat too much because you're so hungry, or you make food choices that aren't the best either. And so these are habits that can develop and then transfer into adulthood.
Exactly.
And so it's good to start that out when they're young, get them in the habit of this consistent meal timing and pattern. And then also, since we're talking about the kind of the what, how do you decide what you're going to give them? You talk a lot about not wanting to restrict certain foods or demonizing certain foods. So if you allow them to choose what they're going to eat and how much, isn't it easy for them to just eat all the dessert and not eat their dinner, to eat just the things they like and then leave out the other things that maybe they don't? How does that work into that?
Yeah, it's interesting what you said there as well about the food choices. And at the end of the day, what we're trying to do here, children, If you don't restrict foods, like my children, because we don't restrict anything, my children will choose. Sometimes they'll choose the chocolate or the crisp, but other times my kids do want. Like the other day I posted because, and I think you commented actually, I did fish bites with chips and veg the other day. Yeah. Now Leo went straight for the vegetables first because he knows that nothing's going to be restricted. He knows that he can have his chips and his fish and he knows that he'll have it another day as well. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Children, this will encourage children to see food has, all food has a value, if that makes sense, if we're not restricting things. But it's interesting as well what you said about, you know, we should be responsible for what we're providing our children, because that is how we're demonstrating and modeling. Like I've spoken before about how we shouldn't be teaching children nutrition. We should be teaching food, and we should be doing this through modeling. So if we're modeling a well-balanced meal that is nutritious, then obviously they're going to learn from that rather than us telling them that, you know, vegetables are more nutritious than a chocolate bar, if that makes sense. And it is about that. It is about teaching our children. Like we don't have good or bad foods in this house. We don't, but externally, I have to admit, my children are picking up messages from school, from their friends about good and bad foods. So it is starting to creep into the house. But I'm explaining to my children that all foods are good. All foods are emotionally, you know, equivalent. But obviously, some foods do give us more energy, more nutritional value than others. So that's how I kind of explain it to my children. There's no good, no bad, but some foods are going to make us feel better physically than other foods. But also, as well, of course, it's okay to eat the what people call good foods, but we call them fun foods in this house. Okay, you know, they're going to be things that children want for comfort and emotional reasons, and that's okay too. Okay, but it's about finding that healthy balance, if it makes sense.
Yeah, and so, I think that's something that we do in many areas of life as far as a healthy balance. You know, we don't watch TV 24 hours a day, just like we wouldn't eat chocolate 24 hours a day. There's all kinds of different things where we want to emphasize the positive benefits of certain things rather than focus on the negative side of it. So when you talk about like these fun foods and stuff, we don't need to talk bad about them. We can talk more positively about vegetables and protein and those kinds of things and the benefits and how well they make our body feel and the importance of them without demonizing the other side. And I think when you're talking about the modeling aspect of it, they grow up seeing that we tend to eat, you know, in our family, we tend to eat more of this, but this other stuff, we don't restrict it. It's not demonized. We just don't eat as much of it. And you just sort of develop this natural sense of what and where you should put your focus.
Yeah.
We see that with other things too. You know, people who develop a good, strong work ethic, they still enjoy their time off, their free time, their recreation time, but they've just seen that modeled, that strong work ethic, that it's important to do your job, do it well, spend time taking care of business, so to speak, but you can still enjoy that free time as well. And so I think you see this modeled in different areas of life as well.
And how we learn, you know, the way that we teach other aspects, the way that we teach other things in, you know, at school, etc., we structure and we scaffold, and that's how children learn. So this is exactly by structuring and scaffolding, we are teaching children about nutrition. We are teaching them what, you know, to listen to their bodies and what makes them feel good without explicitly saying so.
Right.
And I think, and one of the key points as well about the division of responsibility, I know we touched on it, but I just is that, you know, you don't force your child to finish any meal. You as a parent, as long as you have done your job and provided them with a nutritious meal, okay? And again, this doesn't have to be perfect, okay? Mm-hmm. Some days we have pizza, that's okay, you know? I'll try and serve a portion of vegetables alongside that, but, you know, this isn't about you always serving, you know, perfectly home-cooked, nutritious food every single time. It's about a balance and it's about a variety, okay? I mix it up. You know, some days my two kids do have fish and chips. Other days they have a stir-fry full of vegetables, okay? And then that develops a healthy relationship with food as well. But they decide how much of a meal they're going to eat. Okay. And this took some learning for me as a parent, because I was brought up in a house where you had to finish everything on your plate and you couldn't leave. And sometimes when I've done a home cooked meal, it's really, you know, a bit disheartening when my boys don't finish it. But, you know, as long as I've done my job, if I put pressure on them, all that is going to do is, because that day they might just decide that they're not as hungry, or they're just not in the mood. And if I put pressure on them, it's just then going to associate. You think about when you were younger. I mean, I remember my mum, or it was my stepmom actually, I hated macaroni cheese, and she made me, and I have still remember this to this day, how she made me sit at the table and I couldn't move until I'd eaten this macaroni cheese. And I remember feeding it to the dog. Okay. Oh, yeah. That sticks in my head. It was so much fun. And I've never eaten macaroni cheese since, because, you know, that it's just, I've just got a negative connotation now with it. And it's a bit like, if you try and force your children to eat vegetables, then don't be surprised then when they don't want to eat them further down the line and all they want to eat is crisps and chocolate, because you're restricting them. And then, and this is often, so I'm going off a little bit now, but this is often as well when children that we do tend to find that children that have been restricting or have had food restricted in the household as children, as they, you know, as they grow into teenagers and they're given a little bit more freedom, they tend to, you know, sometimes gain weight, because when they go out, they are then kind of overeating all of the foods that were limited in the household. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, yeah. I think, again, you see that in so many areas of life when you overly shelter, overly restrict in different areas, then when they're allowed to then go out and experience these things, they often go off the rails, so to speak. You know, an example, kids going off to college, you know, when you don't equip them and prepare them to navigate that ahead of time. And the same is true for food, navigating the food environment that we live in. If we're not equipping them to navigate that with these healthy habits growing up and this way of dealing with fun foods or versus the kind of healthier, more nutritious foods, then we run the risk of them just going off the rails, because they were never able to enjoy these things. And so now they have, you know, mom and dad aren't around to tell them that they can't have this anymore. So they just go crazy with it. And so, I think that's important to develop that, just that natural habit of being able to navigate this, because our food environment is not set up for living a successful, healthy lifestyle. I mean, it just isn't. The messaging coming in, the foods that are most available, all those things contribute to that. And so I think this framework is such a great way to really train up our kids, because that's what we're supposed to be doing as parents, is we're supposed to be training up our kids so that when they're out from under our immediate care, that they're able to navigate these things and make these decisions for themselves. And if it's already a natural habit that they don't even have to really think about, then they're going to do much better. I know when I grew up, my mom did not restrict anything. I mean, any restriction was because we couldn't afford it, basically. So yeah, we didn't get sugary cereals in the house much because they were expensive at the time and we were on a very, very tight budget. But also one of the things that she did, and this might be a good thing to touch on a little bit here too, is when it comes to the what, for example, I never really cared much for cooked vegetables. I still don't as much. I do like a good stir fry and that kind of thing, but cooked vegetables, and there's limited varieties that I do like, and certain things like cooked carrots, I just don't like them. But I love them raw. And so what my mom would do is that she would serve cooked vegetables, and she knew I didn't like green beans, and I still don't, and I won't eat them. And she knew that I didn't like them. She didn't force me to try and eat them. But when she served green beans, which was one of her favorites, then she would put some celery and carrots and raw broccoli on the table as well. And so it was a very simple little thing that she could do as far as controlling the what part of the feeding without being a short order cook. And she would do the same thing with spaghetti. For a long time, I didn't like the sauce on my pasta. I just liked it plain. weird. Yeah. I know, but
no, well, my boys have all been through, but they've been through that. My kids sometimes even now, mommy, we don't want pasta with sauce. Yeah, no, yeah.
And so she would serve it on the side instead of forcing all of us to eat it the same way. She would serve it in that family style where we could put what we wanted on our plate. And so I was always getting plenty of fruits and vegetables. And I just got them in the form that I personally preferred. And so without her having to go crazy and go, you know, like that whole idea of being a short order cook. So how does that, do you do that with your kids also? It sounds like you do to some degree.
Yeah, you've hit on so many really important points there. I hope I can remember them all because just to be important, I was like, yes, yes, yes. And I think there is this idea of, yes, and I love the idea what you said about serving things on the side, because we do that. I deconstruct things quite a lot. So if we're having pizzas, I'll, you know, they can put what, because one of my children doesn't like to put cheese on his pizza. So we deconstruct it so they can put on what they want. But I do just want to point out that even though my children sometimes, if they don't like something, I don't stop serving it. I keep, you know, if say like you're talking about green beans, like one of my, they both love green beans, but I'm just saying, you know, trying to get my words out. but let's say they didn't, I would still keep serving green beans alongside something else like your mum does, because as you know yourself, children often need to see something, you know, 15, I think it's, you know, upwards of about 15 times before they then will try it. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? And I've seen that, you know, with my youngest son as well about the pizzas, I'll give them the bases, the sauce, the cheese, and then they can put whatever they want on. Now, for a long, long time, my youngest, he would not put any cheese at all on his pizza. And gradually, because I was still offering it, now he will put it on, but he'll put it on after, and he's experimenting a little bit with it because I just keep offering it, but I'm offering it alongside other things that he does enjoy. So he loves like ham, and he loves broccoli on his pizzas and stuff like that. So just allowing those opportunities alongside things that they enjoy, you know, because I guess this is the other point that I wanted to make, is that, you know, it's up to you to offer variety. It's up to you to not make, you know, to try and make, encourage your children to have variety within their diet as well by doing that, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's a great way to introduce new foods, is you just keep them there and take advantage of the curiosity that kids have, because kids are always very curious. And so by putting that out there, and by them seeing you trying it and enjoying it, maybe seeing their brother or sister enjoying it too, maybe they'll be a little more likely to give it a try.
Yeah, just before I forget about that, there's two examples recently of that. Mm-hmm. So I eat prawns quite a lot. Neither the boys would, right? So, but eventually, the more as I was eating them, then Luca would want to, my eldest son Luca started to try them. Then as Leo started to see Luca to try them, he started to try them. Now, Leo still isn't sure, but Luca loves them. And the same's happened with radishes as well. Like, Leo would never eat radishes, but he's been seeing Luca eating them, so they've always been available, and now he's starting to try them. So yeah, you keep showing them different foods and introducing different foods. But another tip, I've got loads of tips, but obviously that's because I'm in the middle of it still at the minute, but is to introduce new foods alongside a dip or a sauce that they like. Like, I will often throw things into a tomato sauce, or I'll let Luca have some ketchup, because Leo doesn't like it, you know, alongside something new, so that it encourages him to try it. And don't be afraid of doing that. If it means that he's going to try something new, then that's absolutely fine. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. That I think that a lot of what we're talking about here too, that's important to point out, is that it sounds like you're very consistent in the way that you're doing this. It's not that you were doing it a certain way before and then you tried it one time and now everything works. And I think if anybody who's listening, just like with so many things in life, you're not going to see a change overnight. So if you are currently just letting your kids eat whenever they want, whatever they want, and you're just, or you're forcing them to clean their plate, and now you're thinking, maybe I shouldn't be doing that. I want to make a change. Obviously, this shift will not happen overnight. Do you have any tips that you can recommend for how parents could could get started moving in the right direction, incorporating kind of this division of responsibility, because it is going, I mean, number one thing to keep in mind is it's not, like I said, not going to happen overnight. It will take time. And so what would be a good approach to maybe trying to get some of this stuff incorporated into your family's eating patterns?
Yeah, you make a good point. And I did want to pick up on this actually when we were talking earlier, because I think, you know, it does take time. And even like I said, you know, we kind of went off track during lockdown. So I had to pull it back again recently. Mm-hmm. So what I would, you know, the first thing I would say is, you know, if this is something that you would like to implement in your home, and I would honestly highly recommend that you do, then start with the structure first. Start with the structure and hold the scaffold. And be, you know, remember that that is your responsibility. Try and maintain that. Don't worry too much about the food. Like I'm talking about, we've been talking about different ways to introduce things. And I am fortunate now that I am at a stage with my children where I can do that. And I can throw, you know, cannellini beans into their burgers and stuff like that. But I wouldn't, you know, if this is a new approach for you, just focus on the structure first. Focus on, you know, just the timing of each meal, the timing of each snack. And that will be difficult sometimes to begin with. But if you've got younger children, just the best way you can explain it to younger children is just if they come to you and they say, oh, mummy, I want a snack, and it's outside of the scaffold that you're trying to establish, just try and say, okay, breakfast, playtime, snack, reading a book, lunchtime. Then try and break it down into their day, so that, if that makes sense, try and show them how it's going to flow so that they are confident that they're not going to go too hungry before they can eat again. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
And what you can do as they get older, so I can do this now with both of them actually, because Leo started to tell the time, is also use a clock. Like, okay, at 11 o'clock, you're going to have your snack. And I still get it now with Leo. Leo will sometimes come to me, mummy, can I have something to eat? And I'm like, what time is it? You know, you've got another, if it's 5 or 10 minutes off, then that's fine. You know, don't, you know, choose your battles. But sometimes they will ask for something an hour into, and now that they know that the structure is there, they accept that. But don't get me wrong, it's taken me time to establish that. In the beginning, when I didn't have this structure, I'd get tantrums, I'd get stamped feet. But this is your response. You are doing this for the best interest, in the best interest of your children. Okay, so hold the structure. But in the beginning, if it means that you're giving them, you know, more crisps and chocolate than you would like, or fish fingers and chips more often than you, that's fine. Don't worry about what it is that you're giving them. Just focus on the structure first. Does that make sense? And then, and then, like at snack times, you can then start to introduce. So like now, you know, once you've started to get the structure and the children have got used to that, snack time could be, you know, maybe you've been allowing crisps at snack time and stuff. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't, but you could then say at snack time, okay, I'm going to offer you an option now. Do you want some crisps, or maybe we can have some cheese and crackers instead, and offer the option and then just transition. Does that make sense? I keep saying, does that make sense? Yeah. But
yeah, it definitely does. And I think that's a good, that's such an important thing. And even taking this to targeting some of the nutrition things that we do as adults. So we both work with adult clients, and often what happens in our diet culture, diet mentality, is that you go from where you are today, which is this horrible eating pattern, horrible habits, blah, 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 all this stuff. And then you make this complete 180, and now you incorporate a complete reworking of every aspect of the way that you eat. And then people get excited, motivated, and 2 weeks later, they're like, I can't do this. I just can't do this anymore. And so the same, we can do that same thing with kids. If we can very easily overwhelm them by saying, okay, we're going to switch to a feeding schedule. We're going to have vegetables at every meal. We're going to reduce our chocolate intake. We're going to add in this and that. And then now you're overwhelming them with too many different things. And so I think it is really important to find this low-hanging fruit, where we can address one thing at a time, one big thing at a time. And I think the schedule that you talked about, or consistency in the way that we feed them and focusing on that one thing, is so important, because then we can get that in place. That one thing alone could have a dramatic impact on the overall health and nutrition habits and outcomes for not only the kids, but us as adults, because this is something that if we have erratic eating patterns ourselves, as an adult, and we're trying to improve that. So if there's adults who are listening to this who don't have kids, or maybe you have nieces and nephews or grandkids and you're trying to incorporate some new things with them, but you're also looking for some tips for yourself, this would be a great way to get started in improving your own health and nutrition, is you start getting onto some kind of a consistency when it comes to the way that you eat yourself. Going into meals, it's important that kids go into meals having a little bit of hunger. Same for us. It's important that kids aren't grazing all day long. And the same is true for us, that we're going to run into those same problems.
It works both ends. And I've got to say, I mean, I'm really pleased you've made that point, because this is something that I work on establishing with the majority of my clients. The majority of my clients have been fluctuating between trying to starve themselves and then literally binging and overeating. Mm-hmm. And one way to overcome that is exactly that, is to establish. One of the first things I do with most of my clients is we don't even think about what they're eating initially. It's about establishing that structure so that they're maintaining their blood sugar levels, they're making sure they're not getting too hungry, and then we can move on to the healthy food choices. So getting the healthy pattern first is really important, and it you know, having to teach that to adults, you know, we shouldn't be doing that, because we should be teaching them them when they're children. But diet culture gets in the way. It makes you feel like you can only eat when you're starving hungry, and then you just end up, like you say, overeating, and you'll go constantly through these cycles. So yeah, it's a really valid point, and it's something that I do with my clients. It's one of the first things I talk about when I'm doing I'm putting together a group, as you know, I'm doing a group course starting next year, and that's one of the things that we look at there as well.
Yeah, and so that would be one of the big takeaways from this whole discussion, is this division of responsibility. It can be hard to get in place at first, especially if your current way of feeding is nothing like this. But keep in mind that as you start to incorporate, you're going to see probably some pretty dramatic changes, and just a more enjoyable time around feeding, less tantrums, if tantrums are an issue, less stress around eating. You're not going to be constantly telling your kids to clean their plate. One thing, without watching our time here, so we don't go super long, but one of the things that that can be really helpful in trying to start this thing off is how we serve our meals. And so we talked a little bit about how you were talking about deconstructing the meals. And so serving things family style, that can be one practical way of beginning to implement this division of responsibility, especially, let's say you have two partners, and one is gung-ho to start this division of responsibility. And maybe you're currently forcing your kids to clean their plate because that's how you were raised. That's how your partner was raised. And so now you're thinking, well, how am I going to do this? I'm on board, but my partner still wants them to clean their plate because they don't want them to waste food. What would be a way that we can still not waste food, but still allow our kids to eat, to decide how much they're going to eat? Do you have any suggestions for how we can, make that happen?
Yeah, well, like you said before about how your mother obviously used to say, you know, serving meals family style is a great way of doing that, absolutely. And like you said as well, because then that can also allow you to incorporate new foods as well, because they're seeing familiar foods alongside new foods, and obviously as well they can select what they want to put on their plate, and then that gives them more responsibility about how much they're going to eat. So that's another great way of doing it as well. And of course, you know, I mean, I'm from an Italian family, you know, if things don't get eaten, no problem, I'll serve them tomorrow, you know. That's all right, they're going to make a reappearance in something tomorrow. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I'm pretty resourceful when it comes to food. And I would much rather, you know, rather than putting any pressure on my children. So yeah, family style is a great way. I've got to admit, we don't always do that in this house. Right. We don't always serve family style. But I do think if this whole division responsibility is new, then that is a great step into it.
Yeah, so I think it's important that we just take things one step at a time, and not try, again, emphasizing that point, don't overwhelm your kids, your family with massive changes overnight. Focus in on that, kind of getting the consistency with that schedule. Would you say that would probably be our main takeaway point from from talking about this division of responsibility.
Yeah. And also as well, I just want to say, you know, I know how, you know, well, we all do, you know, Jeff, you've got children. And I think don't put too much pressure on yourself. Don't put too much pressure on yourself to have home cooked meals every evening. It just, you know, it's just not going to happen. So, you know, just remember that as long as you're maintaining a structure and you're, you know, showing, modeling children what a healthy relationship looks like, because a healthy relationship with food doesn't mean clean eating. Okay. Right. It means the variety, and it means that all foods are emotionally equivalent. So just, you know, take away the pressure. Trust me, when I started to do that, it's made such a difference. And I can definitely, it's taken time, but the improvement in my children's relationship with food is huge.
Yeah. And if you aren't following Rebecca on social media, definitely go do that, because she posts a lot with her children. And it's really cool to see the way that they interact with the food and the way that they just seem to really enjoy eating. Yeah. And enjoy interacting with their food. And I think that's such a cool thing to see. And hopefully you'll find encouragement in that, because again, that's something that's not, it's not common, I guess, in our culture. So when you do see it, it's really refreshing to see that, and to see that these things that we've been talking about today, that Rebecca is actually implementing and speaking about on a daily basis, because she's living it. She's actually going through it now, sharing those daily experiences, that it really does work. And whenever you talk to anybody who's really implementing this, you see that it really does work, and it really sets up the kids for a good, solid interaction with food, understanding of nutrition, and then that's going to set them up for a lifetime of healthy eating.
Yeah. Although I have got to say, not every day is, you know,
let's not pretend that it's all unicorns and rainbows, because no, it's not, and it won't be. I mean, that's the thing. Also, too, just, you see a lot of this stuff on social media, and I guess I'm getting off topic here, but man, it just, keep in mind that there's going to be hard days. There's going to be meals where you do have a fight with your kids over the food, where you do just break down and just let them have a day where they just kind of graze and stuff. And that's okay. And that's one of the things that I think is really important to take away from this also, is that we're talking about a structure, a framework, a principle. We're not talking about rigid rules that you adhere to without ever straying, because again, that's going, that just falls in back in line with that whole restriction mentality. And yeah. So I think those are important absolutely. To keep in mind.
No, it's a really, really important point. I think we could go on forever, and I'm sure we'll pick up on some of these.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, it really would be great if anybody listening could, you know, if there's any questions that anybody has on any of this, that would be great, because it, you know, it'd be great to answer some questions, wouldn't it, next time we talk?
Yes, definitely. Yeah, always feel free to share those questions with us. We'd, of course, like to answer them on future episodes, and maybe even do an entire dedicated episode as well, too, because some of these questions are just really good things to address, and they're common. You may be struggling with a particular area of nutrition, and just keep in mind that there are literally millions of other parents around the world who are going through the exact same thing that you are. So you're not alone in all of this. But keep in mind too, that there are answers to and ways of working through these things to move down a more positive direction with these.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, I think that was a great discussion for today. And so thank you all for listening, and we look forward to chatting in the future.